I want to say thank you to the Lord first for doing many great things in my house and for the legacy that my father and mother have left me. So I appreciate that very much. Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, you can clap on that. I mean, hey, that should be an encouragement to us all to leave the legacy that God has put in us to people. Maybe if you don't have kids, you have spiritual kids. If you have natural kids, you have natural kids. But God wants us to leave a legacy to all in our area of influence. So that I want to encourage you to do that because it's huge. You may not know that you're doing that also, but you're leaving a legacy. And it's an awesome thing. Amen. In all seriousness, I do appreciate Pastor John. On our last trip we went to, definitely could not have made it through the airports without him. Oh my goodness. Traveling to other countries, trying to figure out where we're going and getting on shuttles and buses. It was a lot for me because I'd never been west or east. I've been to all the Americas, which are north, south, central, but I'd never been over the pond one way or the other. And I appreciate Pastor John leading and really putting together, spearheading that trip for the Lord. That was awesome. So it was a great thing. Well, so I want to share just a moment about that, about India, just for a second. I know you guys heard about their story, which is a great story. My story is a very different story. They had a different experience than I did in India. There is no doubt about that. And it's interesting how God does things that we're not always prepared for. And I carry this. We were honored in India with one of our cloaks right here. And I keep it with me to remind myself that God is bigger and God is international. Because he is. One thing that I wanted to mention about the trip, and I thank God for everything that happened with it. But it was a very different trip for me because I got there. I was expecting, my expectations were so high. I mean, I was ready. I was like, my expectations were just like, we're going to see people healed. We're going to see demons come out. We're going to cast out devils. We're going to see maybe arms grow out that were lost. We're going to see crazy things happening in the spirit. It's just going to be amazing. Looking for the lame to walk, blind eyes to see. I'm like, I'm even going to get to speak in tongues and someone's going to know exactly what language it is. So I was pumped. I was really pumped. I was ready to go. And then the very first day we got there, I was a little tired, didn't feel as great. And then the next 3 days I was in bed sick. Oh man, what a bummer that was. What a bummer. And I tried to downplay it a little bit because I didn't want to seem like, oh yeah, you're sick. But I was like hallucinating. I had 103 temperature. It was bad. It was so bad that when Pastor John said, we might have to stay another day, I'm like, oh Lord, I can't stay another day. Oh Lord, please. I didn't want to go to the hospital because I wasn't sure if I was going to walk out. I mean, to be honest, I wasn't sure, I'd never been to a foreign country hospital. I'm like, oh Lord, if I go there, I might not come back out. And that might not be a good thing. I mean, my wife wanted to get me out of the house, but she didn't want to, she didn't want to permanently take me out. But it was a tough trip. It really was. And there were some really low points in that trip. And I'm not scared to share pain or feelings of what happened when I preach. I'm not scared of that because God uses that. And I like to be real. Can we be real in this house? Can I be real? Can I tell you a little bit more of my soul, what's going on? I was so depressed on that trip at times. I was literally crying and wanting to go home. And that is not me. When I get somewhere, I want to go. I want to do things. I was literally crying on my face saying, God, why did you send me here? If I'm just going to be sick, if I'm not going to be able to do anything, why? And so I was like, all right, God, well, I'll at least pray. At least I can do. So I gave myself a title. I'm really good at giving because I'm a banker by trade. We're really good at titles. So I gave myself a title and I called myself Ground Zero Intercessor. That's what I call myself. So I was like, I can't do anything. And I'll tell you what, I love if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking tongues, I'd encourage you to go after that because I'll tell you what, speaking in tongues while you're sick is amazing. I didn't understand. I've spoken in tongues a long time, but I didn't realize that when you are sick and you're just like, oh, you just can't function, speaking to the Lord in tongues was such a release, such a relief too, where I'm like, I'm praying the heart of God, and it doesn't have, I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to go through any of that normal stuff. I could just pray and know His will is being done. It was wonderful. It was a great time. So it was a hard time as well, because I'm like, I'm depressed. I really am depressed. And I was coming back, and we were in Bangalore, the airport, and I was really, I mean, I didn't seem depressed on the outside, but I was really depressed on the inside. I was like, God, why did you have me come here if I wasn't supposed to do anything? I was really questioning God why that happened. And I appreciate everyone that supported me financially and prayerfully. I appreciate that. You didn't fail. There was nothing wrong with that. You didn't pray enough. That's not the issue. It wasn't that all. But then God spoke to me in the Bangalore airport very clearly. And He said, all I asked you to do is go. I didn't ask you to do anything else. I just asked you to go. And boy, that tore me up on the inside. I was like, all right, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I will go where you want me to go. And so the Lord really set me free by what His word said, because I was expecting a lot of things. But God said, I just called you to go, and you obeyed, and well done. He's so good. He's so good. So the Lord is so good on that. Amen. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Just want to release a few things real quick before I get into the message. And want to do a little bit of, it's good so far. So we'll do one thing. So you guys are on YouTube and Facebook. So I want to welcome everyone from YouTube and Facebook here to Wellspring Christian Fellowship. If you're looking for a home church here in Martinsville or the surrounding area, this is the place to be. This is it. This is it. Recommended. Got a good check. Got a 5-star Yelp review. I mean, it's amazing. 5-star Yelp. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, normally get 4.9, but 5 stars, that's really good. So I want to encourage you. This word that I'm about to share is for this house, but it's also the word I'm going to share is for anyone that is in the sound of my voice. That the Lord has either tuned you in for such a time as this, or has brought you here. And if you experience something today, that I would love for you to reach out to Pastor John Heiss. I'd love for you to come visit and share what God has done. Because we are a body of believers. We want to encourage each other with testimonies and such. And we want to proclaim His name and build His kingdom. Amen. So this is something I do, and it's very new. So who has their phone with them? Now this is going to be interesting. This is going to blow your mind. Are you ready for something? Who has their phone with them? You can bring it out. Wave it in your hand. I don't want you to put it away. I want you to keep it out. What do you mean, Pastor Van? What do you mean, keep it out? What do you mean? If someone calls you, then I want you to give it to me. Because sometimes those are divine appointments. Just saying. Someone calls you, give it to me. Also, on your phone, there's a little cute thing that I don't know if you knew about this. There's a notepad. Did you know that? Open that notepad. And put here on that notepad what God spoke to me and expect Him to do something. I know not everyone does pencils and papers and stuff. That was a thing of the 90s, 80s, 70s, and maybe even 60s. But if you're around, I wasn't around that time, but if you were there, you had writing in 60s? Oh, okay. I'll just make sure. You had paper? Really? That's amazing. Chisels and hammers, like Brother Kitty said. We had running water and we had outhouses. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I want you to put on the little note what God spoke to me today, because He's going to speak to you. You don't have to put a whole page. You don't have to write the whole sermon down, but put on that little note what God spoke to me, because God wants to speak something great to you today. And if anyone calls, I'm taking the phone call. Let's go. Now, so also I want to do a little bit of other thing. While I was worshiping, the Lord really was speaking about healing. So what I want you to do is if I speak what it is that you're asking for healing, And this could be online as well. And it's the Lord's going to do some things online as well. I want you just to lift your hand and say, yep, that's me. And that's good. So I was praying for healing for right knees, for the back of the right leg, for left side and the back, and for the front left side of the leg. A lot of legs today. So I don't know if that was a people today. Okay. All right. I see a hand, two, three. Okay. We're good. So we're just going to pray for that. We're not going to go into it really long because God heals. By his stripes, we are healed. And so we're just going to go after that just for a second. So we're going to pray right now for that healing that God wants to touch you right now. He already told us that, but he's going to bring healing. So Father, right now, we speak healing by your blood. That you conquered every sickness, every disease, every curse you carried on the cross and brought healing. We thank you, Father, for your healing touch in all of these bodies right now that you brought to our attention. Your healing, restoring, creative miracle, no more pain. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Expect it. Maybe it came right now. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it'll come a little bit later. Maybe it'll come tomorrow when you wake up. Don't let healing be an event in time, is what I'm trying to say. Don't let healing just be an event in time. Because when we do that, we limit God and saying, oh, God, you didn't heal me right at this exact point at this exact time, so you're not going to heal me. No, no, no. God does workings how he wants to. And if he wants to bring you a healing tomorrow morning, he will. If he wants to bring you a healing next week, he will. But let him, do not limit him, but let him have rule and reign over your body. Amen? Amen. All right. So now, when I was praying about this, Pastor John asked me to preach, and I was like, all right. So right when he asked me to preach, a word dropped right into my spirit. And I was like, all right. I mean, and if you've preached before, and if you know that, you're like, well, God, I know it's you. I know you're calling to do it. So it's like, all right, God, we're going to do it. And the word that he dropped into my spirit was fresh. Literally, the word fresh. And I was like, oh, yes, Lord, this is good. I like where this is starting out. And what he was talking about fresh is giftings and opportunities and fresh starts. I'm like, oh, yes, Lord, this is good stuff. And he also said, don't let things hold you back. Don't let things of 2023, 22, times of COVID, times before COVID even, don't let things from 1980, don't let things from 1990s hold you back from the freshness that God wants to bring in 2024. Come on. Come on. Because if you try to mix the fresh with the stale, you don't get it. It's not pretty. Have you ever tried to mix fresh soda or soft drink with stale and old soda or soft drink? Have you ever tried that? It's gross. Thank you. Yes, it's gross. Have you? I mean, maybe you don't drink soda. Well, then maybe do you eat fish? If you bring in a dish fresh fish and stale old fish and put them together, does it taste fresh? No, it tastes like garbage is where it should be. So am I getting the point across? Do you kind of understand what I'm saying here? It's not, we don't want to bring stale stuff in there because it's only going to contaminate what God wants to do afresh in you. Amen. Amen. God is bringing freshness to this house. I love it. Freshness to your lives. Fresh fire, fresh wind, fresh giftings. Come on. Come on, Jesus. And so then the Lord brought me to Genesis 8:1. He brought me to Genesis 8:1. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. We're going to talk about a good friend of mine. And his name was Noah. And I was like, God, what do you mean fresh? Fresh stuff. And Noah knew about fresh. He knew about fresh. Amen. And we'll read in verse 1. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can look it on your cell phone, which also has the app ability to be able to do that. Isn't that amazing? App ability to do that. That is amazing. I don't know where that came from, but it's there. It's good. We'll do it. There's a few other words you might learn today too. My wife is like, man, those words are not in the dictionary. I'm like, they will be. They will be. I'm going to make sure they are. I'm just going to make sure they are. So, Genesis 8:1. But God remembered Noah. You know what? That verse always struck me as funny because God remembered Noah. How do you forget Noah is what I was wondering. How do you? I mean, he is the only family left on the earth at this point. How do you forget him? And he's in an ark in a big boat that you told him to build with all of these animals that are still there. And how could you forget him, maybe? How many times do we feel like, oh, God forgot about me? I mean, but we live in a 7.8 billion people right now on the world. I'm like, okay, God might be forgetting me a little bit. It might seem that way. He doesn't, but it might seem that way. But how could God forget Noah? Literally. I mean, I remember when I've been forgotten. Now, if you grew up in the church, in between the 80s and 2000s, I call you a kid of ministry, a KOM, a kid of ministry. And if you had not been forgotten in the church, then you weren't actually a true KOM, because it was a rite of passage for us kids to be forgotten at church once or twice in our lifetime, doing these things as our parents would be in ministry. Nothing wrong with the parents, not saying they're bad parents or evil parents or things. They just had a lot to do. And so I remember one time I got left at church. And I remember and this is before my father's accident, so there was no excuse. But anyways, I'm not saying, no shame or guilt or bondage. And no, I might need a inner healing maybe later, maybe. Maybe it seems like it's coming up. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So I got left, and I'm like, my father's gone. He was talking away, and I saw him one time, and then my mom left, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm all alone. Shoot. I was like, I missed the bus. Oh, man. And I think I'm about 10 at the time, 10 or 11, somewhere around there. So probably. I, in their defense, they probably did. But if you knew my father, I mean, he could talk for hours. I mean, it was a, and my mom, she was like, all right, it's time to eat. Let's get the train going here, Barry. Let's get the train going. Let's move out. We're moving out like a herd of turtles. I mean, it was that slow at times because my father was a relational person. He was very, very relational. And if he didn't hug everyone by the end of church, he didn't hug anyone. So that's the way he felt. So that's where he was. So I was left without my father and my mother. And then I'm like, huh. Well, I guess they're at Jerry's Pizza in Martinsville. So I'm like, well, let me go ask someone. And then so I'm like, I'm talking on, I don't remember which adult it was. It might have been Roy Callahan or somebody like that. And I was like, can you take me to Jerry's? Because my mom and dad left me. And he's like, sure, come on up. And so I reunite with my family at Jerry's. It's not like one of those great things. You see, I'm like, oh, it's all right. We're there. We got reunited. It's good. You know, we're all made whole. We're good. Things. There's no inner healing that's needed. No casting of demons. We're good. So we didn't need any of that stuff. So, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock that were with him in the ark. Now, if I want to put it into applying for this house, it would say, but God remembered Pastor John and all the wild preachers and young adults and prayer warriors and intercessors that were with him in Wellspring. That's what I would say. That's what it would be. Amen. It's good. And he said, and then in reading on, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and floodgates of heaven had been closed, and the rain stopped falling from the sky. So we see God is doing something here. Everything's been receded. So then we go back, we go down to Genesis 8, verse 10, and we see what God's doing then. Genesis 8, 10 through 12. And he waited 7 more days. Noah had to wait a lot, it seemed like, in this time. And again sent out a dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Freshly picked. And that's where the Lord said fresh. He He said fresh. Because promises are being fulfilled when it's fresh. Then Noah knew. He knew. Because of this, he knew the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return. It's happening. We're about ready to see God do something amazing in this time. Where he had been stuck in the ark with all these animals, all these creatures that were probably a little bit scary at times, as well as frustrating at other times, as well as smelly at other times. As well, that's probably true. All the time, they were smelly. And he had to live in there with his family. I mean, it's no yacht luxury. It wasn't Carnival or Royal Caribbean they were on. They were on a boat of wood made of gopher wood, that had to endure rough seas, seasickness, and all these other things. I'm like, man, more power to Noah. That was no joke. With family. With family. I mean, it's bad enough to do it by yourself, but then you have to have your family come in sometimes. And you know, you love your family, but spending quite amount of time with your family in an enclosed space that you really can't go anywhere. It's not like you could go somewhere else on the earth. I could take an Airbnb over here. No, you're stuck in that boat with your family. And if an issue were to come up, you had to deal with it. That is no joke right there. Yeah, so I mean, it was crazy. But getting back to the point, but the dove did not return to him. So he knew something what God was up to. He knew that God was doing things, getting the earth ready for him. And then we're going to skip down to Genesis 8:15. Then God said to Noah, God said it. He didn't do it. God said, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth, be fruitful, and increase in number on it. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and the creatures that move along the ground, all the birds, everything that moves on land came out of the ark, one kind after another. Now, that must have been pretty crazy to see. I'm just saying. That must have been pretty crazy. Because you're seeing all the lions, the crocodiles, all these other animals, the horses, the cows, all these birds coming out. You know, all the things that we see today were derived from this moment in time. And it was just like, it must have been amazing. Now, I will say that had it been my family on that ark, there might not have been a few animals that made it off the ark. I'm just saying. I mean, I know my father, who loves deer meat, they might have been like, all right, come on out. Where's all the deer, Pastor Barry? I don't know. As he's got a little deer sauce hanging from his cheek or something like that. I don't know where all the deer went. God, you know. I know if my wife and me had been on that boat, there wouldn't be any chickens in this world because she loves chicken. Like, what happened to the chickens? Oh, I don't know. We got hungry. So, I mean, it would have been a different story for the Hussey family if it had been us. That's probably why God didn't choose us to be there at that time, because he knew some of the animals weren't going to make it. And I know I love steak. So whenever I see a cow, even in India, I'm thinking steak. Steak, you know, I'm like, there are cows everywhere in India. I'm like, oh, look at that big steak. Oh, that's ground beef right there. It's laying down. You know, I'm ready to go. I'm like, come on. Yeah, I know. It's a dad joke. I know. It's so sad. I'm a dad of a father of four. That's how it goes. So anyways, but all the animals made out alive, and that's amazing in itself. That's a miracle, I would say. So all that to say, is this church has been sending out doves, and now it's come back with fresh olive branches. This church has done some things, has been through some things, and everyone in this church has been through a lot of things, I would say. And this church has been sending out these doves saying, all right, God, we're waiting for your promises. We're waiting for things to happen. And there hasn't been anything. Doves come back empty. the Lord is saying, now is the fresh olive branch for this house. Now is the fresh olive branch. Now the promises, and it's going to happen. And I'm so excited about that because I was like, yes, God, I love this house because this is the house where I grew up. And I just love to see God do great things in this house. I love it. I love it. And I pray for you guys. And I want to see God continue to do everything through you guys. I love it. But the Lord said there's three groups of people in this house. And if you're in the sound of my voice, then you're one of these three groups. Now, you might know who you are right off the bat. I'm just saying. But then you might be like, well, Lord, which group am I? And he's going to answer you because there's three groups. So there's the group that's called the now group is what we're calling it. So you're going out and getting on the dry land because God is telling you to come out of the ark and bring everything with you. Some of you are the now group and you're going on dry land. There's going to be opportunities and doors that are going to open for you. Amazingly, that doors have been closed, that things just have been a trial where things have just not worked your way. There's going to be things that are going to open for you that are going to be amazing. And you're like, yes, there's going to be a release and freedom, fresh songs, fresh things that are going to be happening, fresh giftings, fresh anointings. It's going to be amazing. And the pros for this group are going to be you're getting ready to go, new anointing and zeal, energy. Amen. Grace, giftings, and deeper relationship and promises. Those are the pros for this group. You're like, yes, that sounds amazing. But there are some cons to this group if you're not careful. The cons are there can be bitterness for the other two groups not joining you at this time. There could be confusion with communicating. And there could be growing weary in well-doing. Because the now group, there's going to be some pioneering that's going to go on. There's going to be some open doors that you're going to be able to place, but you might not have everyone with you at the moment. And that's okay. That is okay. But be careful of those things that can hurt your relationship. Be careful of those things that I just spoke about. There's another group. So you have your now group, then you have your later group. Now, your later group, this group is going to have to wait a little longer before they get to the open door where God's saying, come out of the ark, bring you and your wife and what you've been working on, bring you and, you know, who you are and what you've been doing for the kingdom. You're going to have to wait a little bit because this group is still on the potter's wheel. Now, we're all on the potter's wheel, but God is doing something special with you that he needs to finish with you. There's a season that you're going through that you have to finish. You have to complete that assignment. Otherwise, you won't be able to step out into what God is going to give you. The ground is not ready for you yet. The water hasn't fully receded yet. God has not prepared the way for you straight just yet. You have to wait. And I get it. It's not easy to wait, but it's hard because in Genesis 8, 13 and 14, this is where you're going to be. By the first day of the first month, Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Then Noah then removed the covering of the ark and saw the surface of ground was dry. By the 26th day of the second month, you see there's some time there that happened. The earth was completely dry. There's some waiting that's going to happen. And it's not bad. It's not God is doing that. God is in the midst of that. But you're going to have to finish that assignment. You're going to have to finish what God is calling you to do. And the pros of that is that you're going to be able to complete it. It's not that you're never going to be able to complete it. You're going to be able to go and complete it. It's going to be amazing. You're going to get a deeper understanding. You're going to get more knowledge of what he needs you to do. There's going to be greater character in you and a greater relationship with the Father. Great things are going to be in you, but you have to stay in there. The cons, though, you have to be careful of, there is going to be bitterness, if you're not careful, towards the now group. Well, God, why can't I be like the now group? They're all having all the fun. I'm stuck in the ark, shoveling stuff. Shoveling stuff, dealing with this, dealing with that. God, I'm tired. Why do I want to be like the new group, the now group? And it's true. You want to. Yeah, because they're having all the fun. They're enjoying the blessings of God. Don't become bitter. Don't become bitter. Don't become envious. Fatigue can set in. If you're not spending your time with the Father, fatigue can set in. And you can have a malnourished spirit. Did you know that's possible? Having a malnourished spirit? I didn't even know that was possible until the Lord really brought it to my attention. If you have a malnourished spirit, it means you can only go for a little bit, but then you're going to give out real quick. You might have a little bit of energy, but then after that, you're done. Very quick. A malnourished spirit. You're going to see relationships ending. There's going to be a place where you can see relationships ending, and that can be painful. Where you're not as engaged. So you're going to be able to, it's going to happen if you let it. Don't let your relationships end. Don't make yourself a little island where you're like, oh, it's only me going through this. No, there's other people going through it too. But don't make yourself a little island where there's no support. And you can give in to being stressed, fearful, and anxious in this group. That's why you can't make yourself an island. That's why you can't say, it's just me. No, it's not just you. God wants to make sure that you don't become part of the cons, become part of the pros. God wants to bring you out of that. And when he does, it's going to be amazing. And you're going to have such great testimonies. You're going to have such better character. You're going to have such great faith. And you're going to be like, God, it was all him. So faithful, so honoring. I trust him, and he brought me through. And the power that you're going to walk in is going to be amazing. Amen? That's set group. The third group. And this group was interesting because I didn't get this group till actually I came down here. I only had two groups at the beginning of this message. And I was like, all right, God, we're good. And then God said, nope, I was driving down. He's like, I have a third group that I want you to talk about. I was like, all right. And this group is very important. Not saying none of the groups are, but this one has the greatest cons if you're not careful in this group. This group is called the comfort group. Now, if you know me, I love comfort. Oh, man. Since India, I have become a comfort-holic. Because I'm like, I didn't have those comforts in India, but I'm making up for it now in the United States. I am totally making up for it now. I mean, even Pastor Steve, our executive pastor up where I am, he has an office upstairs. I even bring in the nice recliner that has nice posh seating to meet with him on our weekly meetings. That's how I'm like, if I can have the comfort, I'll take it. I'll take it. But because I didn't have it in India, and I was like, I'm making sure I take full advantage of the comfort. I will definitely do that. So this group is called the comfort. It's more than just moving a few chairs and, you know, being comfortable. It's more than that. So what this group wants to do is they want to stay in the ark. The door is open. God has asked them to come out, but they want to stay in the ark because of routine and it's because of what they know. God gave them this ship to deliver them and to bring them to promises, but they would rather stay in the ship because it's comfortable. That's tough. Now, the pros to this group is you can have the promises that God's given you. You can do it. You can walk in it. You can do well with it. You've done well with the assignment of the being in the ark. You've done well with it. It's time to move on. It's time to move on and to multiply what the Lord did in the ark. There is joy unspeakable. There is a greater attitude of servanthood. There is excitement for fresh things. All these things you could have with coming out of the ark. So the comfort group. I mean, they've got some great things. But the comfort group has the worst cons. Because if they stay in the ark, they will never fulfill or see the promises of God in their life, nor pass it on to their natural or spiritual children. That's serious. That's what the Lord told me. Their attachment to the ark and comfort will bring more and more traditional practice that will result in religion and end up having a pharisaical heart. That's harsh, but it's true. That's what the Lord's saying. Their attachment to the ark and comfort will bring more and more traditional practice that result in religion and end up having a pharisaical heart. Whew. That's tough. That's tough. But that's the con. You don't have to walk in that, though. You can walk in the pro. You can walk in seeing God fulfill it and seeing it passed on as a legacy to your kids, naturally and supernaturally, and being there to experience it. Don't get caught up on the con because the pro is there. And this is for all the groups. Now, the three groups coming together, the Lord brought me to this scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:15-26. And if you know this one, you're like, oh, I know where he's going. I know where he's going. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason to stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? We're going to skip down a little bit. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Amen. All three of these groups are important to what God wants to do. All three of them have specific and certain objectives that they've been through in that ark or that are going through right now that are huge for doing God's work and building his kingdom. Because we don't build our own. We build our own. We're building it with straw, wood that will be destroyed by the fire. We're building it with heavenly resources that won't be destroyed by the fire because it's all tested by fire. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. No division. It doesn't say some division. It doesn't say partial division. It says no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part of the body suffers, every part suffers. If one part of the body is honored, every part rejoices with it. We are his body of Christ. We are his body. Now, some of y'all be like, might know which group you're in already. You're like, oh, I know I'm this group. I know the Lord's saying is spoke to me right then and there. Like, I'm part of this group. I know it. Pray for your other groups. Pray for your other groups. If you're part of that now group and you see people that are in that latter group that haven't come out of the ark yet and are still being worked on, pray for them. Because they need it. And even call them. Say, hey, you know what? The Lord laid it on my heart to give you a call. I just want to tell you that you're doing a good job. The Lord is going to do some great things when you come out of this season. Or maybe they're in the comfort group. And maybe they need some encouragement. Because things are a little bit different when you're out of your comfort zone. Maybe you're like, come on out. I just feel the Lord just tell me to release you. And what he wants to do. I just want to pray for you that God just ignites your soul and you can come out to the fulfillment of what he has for you. That you can do ministry. That you can do these things that God's called you to do. That maybe the dreams that you had were kind of laid down a long time and that God is telling you to pick them back up. I want to move in them now. Amen. He wants you to pray for each other because when he brings out everyone, when everyone comes out, even though they might not be out right then and there, it's a beautiful thing. Amen. And you will see him move on a grander scale than you thought was possible. Amen. So right now, I just want to give everyone just a chance to reflect, to receive, and to acknowledge what the Lord's doing. So with everyone, with your head out, your heads bowed, you don't have to close your eyes if you don't want to. I want to give you a moment to just reflect on what God is speaking today. A chance to answer. Or maybe a chance to ask God, well, God, what group am I really in? Because you might think you might be part of a group, but God might be saying, no, you're actually part of this group. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with being a part of any of these groups. There's nothing wrong. We're the body of believers. But there's certain functions that God is calling every group to do. So I want to give you just a moment in quiet for just a moment. Tell you to ask God what group you're in, if he hasn't already told you. And say, Father, I want to do well whichever group I'm in. I want to make a declaration today. I want to do well. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just lift up our hearts to you and we just freshly surrender to your will and your ways. We say thank you for letting us know what's going on. Thank you that the promises and the freshness is happening. We thank you, Father. And if we're in the now group, we're like, yes, thank you, Jesus. I've been waiting in this ark for a while. I'm ready to come out. Let's go. Thank you, Father, for opening doors and bringing fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh words, fresh anointing. Thank you, Lord, for making things fresh. Lord, I thank you for our ladder group as well, that you're doing some great things in them. That it is tough for them, Lord, yes. But you've got them in your hand. You've got them on that potter's wheel. And you're making them into something amazing. Something they might not see at all because they're only looking at a small piece of it, but you are making them into jewelry. You are making them to be crowns, Father, of magnificent with precious gems and stones. And you are doing great things in character. You're doing great things in calling and giftings. Father, bless them. Help them to complete the assignment. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap the harvest. Your word says. Thank you, Father, that you've got them, that they're going to be able to complete it. You're not going to do it. It's not going to be too hard because your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. And even in the midst of it, you can still lead us by the still waters and restore our souls. Thank you, Father, for them. Lord, I thank you for the comfort group. I know you're calling them out. And they are about to do some great things, Father. Things that they might be a little unsure of. Because maybe they've never moved in that area before, that realm. Maybe they've never done this before on certain things. Maybe they've never done it on a larger scale or been a part of something like this. Or it's out of the ordinary for them. Lord, I thank you, Father, for them stepping out and passing down legacy to natural and spiritual children, for them doing great things, no matter what age they are, that you're going to impact the area around them. And it's going to be your kingdom that's going to be glorified and your kingdom that's going to be built in all of these groups, Father. I thank you, Father, for boldness for them to step out and say, well, we may have always done it that way, but it's time to do it new. It's time to follow what the Lord has said. Let's not get stuck in the ark. Let's get stuck on Jesus, and wherever he leads, we'll follow. We thank you, Father, for this wonderful thing that you're doing inside of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.